I believe the focus was on Jesus Christ. And you know, it's a good reminder of what occurred about 2,000 years ago. I like how Pastor Will talked about watching the news. Sometimes the news is depressing. Sometimes I got to turn it off. I don't want to hear anymore, even though I know I need to find out what's going on. But you know, when you watch a news broadcast concerning the birth of the Savior, there is no depressing thoughts there. There's nothing but joy and excitement, knowing that not only has Jesus Christ been born, but because of His birth, we can have life. You see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And on that day, the Son of God was born. You know, I guess the question that can be asked is, why would God send His Son? And I believe the Bible tells us it's so that sinners could know God. That's why God sent His Son. You see, there's a question, I think, that should be answered today. And that is, how do we reach or how do we find God? That's a good question. It really is. How do we find God? How can we know God? How can we approach God? Now, the answer that you will most likely receive, or the answer that you'll probably hear, is whatever way seems best to you. You just go the way you want and you'll find God. That's the answer you'll find, because that's the answer that pleases most people. You see, that doesn't offend anybody. That doesn't hurt any feelings. And so we can say, well, you just do what you want and you'll find God. You'll find that answer. It's a popular answer. You'll find it on the news. You'll find it, sadly, in many churches today. You just go the way you want and you'll find God. This morning, I want to share with you real quick, that's the wrong answer. It's popular and it may feel good, but it's the wrong answer. And that's not my opinion. As you'll see here in a few minutes, that's according to the Bible. That's the wrong answer. The Bible never tells us to seek our own way to find God. It never tells us that you'll find God in any way that you look to. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a way to find God. There's a way to approach Him and the way to find Him, and that's through Jesus Christ. I want to look at two passages. First, John chapter 14. I know the lights are dim a little bit this morning, so I'll read the passage out if you just want to follow along as I read it out this morning. John chapter 14. It begins here in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that sounds good. I imagine the apostles thought, that's good, that sounds nice. And notice what happens next. Thomas speaks up. He says, and Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest and how. He says, can we know the way? Now you think about that. That's a very logical question for what Jesus Christ had just said. He wants to know, how can we know how to go with you so we can spend eternity with you? And notice what Jesus, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I'm going to tell you, if the Bible, if Jesus Christ wanted to teach that you could find God through any way, I believe He would have given that answer right here. I mean, it was a direct question, and He gave a direct answer. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus declared three things here. He declared that He was the way. Not just that He was a way, and you can find the best way that suits you. He says, I am the way. In other words, the only way that you're going to access or you're going to approach God the Father. He also said that He's the truth. In other words, He's opposite from the false ways that are out in this world today. You know, 1 John chapter 3 tells us to test or to try the spirits. This morning, you're not just to listen to anyone who tells you about God or about preaching. Compare it to the Bible. Test the spirits. Test the preaching, singing. Test everything you hear and you read with what God's Word has to say. And God's Word says that there's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus also said, He said, I am the life. You see, He's the source of all life. This morning, you are breathing because God has given you life. You woke up this morning because God sustains your life. He allowed you to wake up, allowed you to have another day. So we should praise God because He gives life. You see, Jesus is the only way to God the Father. He's the only way that we can approach God and have access to Him. Nobody is able to go to God the Father for you or on your behalf. You must go yourself, and that is through Jesus Christ. There are not multiple ways, and you're not to find the way that best suits you. God says, you come to me through Jesus Christ, and I will accept you. That's the way. Recently, actually about a few years ago, I was driving, and I came upon an accident. And it must have happened. I didn't see anything graphic or anything, but it must have happened fairly You know, soon before I arrived upon the scene, they had had a cone out. An officer had already gotten out of the car. And as I pulled up on the scene, the officer was out there and he was waving his hands very clearly. I stopped, and as soon as I slowed down, he pointed and he sent me on an alternate route to go around the accident scene. I say that to say this. I was unable to pass that officer. Now, I could have tried. I would have been in jail. Perhaps I'd be still in jail today. I could have attempted to, but my access in that area was denied. Now, had I been an officer myself, perhaps I could have driven up and said, hey, I can help out, showing him my badge and showing him my authority, and I may have had access to that area. But I was not, so I had to go around. You see, my access was denied. This morning, if someone attempts to access God in any other way outside of Jesus Christ, their access will be denied. That's what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 7 makes it very clear. You know what Jesus said God will say on that day? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, the Bible makes it clear if we're going to approach God or we're going to have life with God, we must come through Jesus Christ. Now I want to read one other passage this morning. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And it's just verses 6 through 13. And I want to show you real quick that Jesus Christ has not only provided access to God, but because of Him, we can approach God. Now, access means that there's a way. The way has been opened up. There is now a road that we can go to God. Now, approaching God is different. Jesus Christ also makes it possible for us to actually approach Him, to know Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to belong to Him, and to spend eternity with Him. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. It says there, but now hath He, now that He is referring to Jesus Christ, hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, He says, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I'll write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man and his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least, He says, to the greatest. Now this morning, I want to just point something out. There are two covenants it's speaking of here. An old covenant and a new covenant. Now, that word covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. If you purchased anything, and you had to take a loan out. Now we don't call it a covenant today, but that's basically what you did. You signed an agreement that you would pay this money perhaps on this day of the month, and they would receive that money, and you would make those payments until your car was paid off, or until your house was paid off, or until your whatever you purchased was paid off. And then when it was paid off, you would take that home, and it would belong to you. Now you think about a covenant. It's an agreement. And the power of the covenant lies really in all that are involved. If one party, if one side breaks that covenant, the covenant is void. That's why our courtrooms are filled today in the United States of America, because many people are breaking their covenants and other people are taking them to court to try to get their money back or whatever else that it may be. You see, you have a covenant there. It's an agreement. And anytime one side fails to keep that agreement, then the covenant is broken. Now, the first covenant we find mentioned here in the Scriptures is referring back to the Old Testament, where God gave the Israelites a law. And basically, He said, here's the covenant I make with you. If you keep it, you will live by it. We're talking about perfection is what we're talking about. The covenant was made, as it points out here, with the fathers of Israel. We know, according to the Old Testament, that Moses was the one who went up on the mountain. He was the one that God, I guess you say, delivered the covenant to, or the law to, and he went and he handed it over or delivered it to the people. And eventually God continued to lead the people out of Egypt, and Moses and the people were blessed. You know what the covenant said? If you go back and read the law, it says, do this and live. We find that in Leviticus chapter 18. Those that keep the law will live by it. If a man or a woman is able to keep the law, if they're able to keep their end of the bargain, that's perfection, by the way, then God will keep His end. I really believe that. And that's eternal life. But that's the problem. Nobody can keep their end. Nobody. There's not an individual on earth. There's nobody living right now that can say, I am perfect. I have never made a mistake. I have never, even as Jesus said, I never thought the wrong thing. From the day I was born to the day I die, I am perfect. Now there are some that might want to make you believe they're perfect. And some may even give that impression that they're perfect. But there's nobody that's perfect. And see, and that becomes the problem. You see, the law says, do this and live. And if a man can keep his end of the deal, then he has life. But if the law is broken, now think of this, in any part, if the law is broken in any part or in any way, do you realize the covenant's been broken? And according to, as it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, because that covenant is broken, death is required. See, that's the problem we have as sinners. I'll say this, there are many today still attempting to keep that first covenant. They're working, believing that their works will impress God, and that when they stand before God, their works, good works, will outweigh their bad works. That's what many people are doing today. Let me give you a simple illustration I hope will help you to understand this, or help us to really grasp this. If a man were being lowered down into a pit, say it was part of his job or part of a rescue of some kind, and they were being lowered down into a pit in a basket, and that pit was hanging by a chain. As long as that chain remained intact, that man would be safe. Didn't matter if he was at the top or if he was near the bottom. As long as that chain remained intact, that man would be safe. Do you realize all it would take is for one link in that chain to break? One link. It wouldn't have to take the entire chain. I mean, the entire chain except for one link could be strong and sound. But if one link of that chain broke, that basket would go down and that man would plummet to the bottom. See, that's how sin is. It doesn't take a whole multitude of sins for us to break God's law. One sin will do it. And that's what we need to understand today, each of us. One sin will turn us against God. One sin is rebellion, and one sin will do it. That's all it takes. You see, we need to understand that one sin. Sin is so dreadful that just one causes this problem. Now, we talk about this first covenant, the law, real quick. You see what it did? It made it clear that we cannot save ourselves. That's what it did for the Israelites. I mean, they had it for thousands of years. And by the time Christ came, you know, we look at this play, and by the time Jesus was born, I believe the Israelites, those that were honest, would say, we cannot keep this law. We need a mediator. We need somebody that can help us out. And when you think about the law, it provided no help at all. It's kind of similar to a doctor. You go to a doctor and they pronounce maybe an ailment, but they don't provide a cure. Now that does happen. You know, we don't have cures for every disease, which is, it's just part of life. If a doctor would say, here's what you have, I can't help you. That's what a simple illustration for us concerning the first covenant. The law says, guess what, you've broken me. You can't keep the law. I can't help you. See, the law is black and white. Do this, do this, do that, and live. Once it's broken, that's it. The law has no remedy within it. There is nothing in the law that says you can do this and gain redemption back. Instead, it says you are now, I guess, say, guilty of sin. You see, you know, what happened is the world required another covenant. Now think on this. Do you believe, when you think about God, He was not required to make another deal with mankind. He's God. And His holiness and His righteousness, you know what He could have done? He could have looked upon everyone and said, you know what? You've sinned. This is what you get. See, God was not bound to make another covenant, but He did so out of mercy. Think of John 3:16. Some of you can quote it this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we find mercy and grace in that passage. But think about this. God sent His Son, not because He had to, not because He was bound to, but because He wanted to. And so God established a new covenant with men and with women and said, here is the new covenant. And it's based upon Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the mediator, as we've read there in Hebrews, of that new covenant. He's the one who will bring us into a relationship with God because of His life. You think about the old covenant. The old covenant was faulty, not because it was impure, but because it provided no salvation. You know what Hebrews 12 says? It says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, a mediator is one who will work between two parties to bring an agreement, whether it's through effort or whether it's through just words. That's what a mediator is. And Jesus Christ is our mediator. You know what He does? He stands between you and God. If you're saved here this morning, Jesus stands between you and God the Father. You are accepted because of Him. Not because of your works, but because of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator of the new covenant. And it was all because of His shed blood on Calvary. I like how that play ended. It's just the beginning. It was the beginning of His life on earth, the beginning of His ministry, the beginning of His atonement for sin, the beginning of His church, the beginning of His work on earth, the beginning of what would occur later, His second coming. You see, it was just the beginning. And Jesus Christ, even today, you think of this, He has so much more planned for us. Not only on earth as far as what's going to transpire, but in heaven with Him, He has so much more planned for us. Now you think about this covenant real quick. In this covenant, the new one that Jesus Christ has established, in this new covenant, everything has been completed. The work is done. Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." You see, He completed the work. And all that is needed is for one to repent, repent and believe. That's what we find in the Scriptures. You don't need to work. You don't need to make the sacrifices anymore. You don't need to go through the rituals. You don't need to provide your good works. Jesus Christ has provided all of that. What you need to do is believe, trust in His finished work, and you'll be saved. This morning, because of the birth of Christ, because of Jesus Christ, do you realize we have a mediator? Because of Jesus Christ, first, you have access to God. And that is not possible on your own. That is because of Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you've trusted in Christ, you can continue to approach God. What I mean by that is believers have some special blessings. One of the special blessings we have as believers is the ability to talk to God, to pray to Him, to seek His help, seek His direction, to seek His forgiveness, to seek His comfort. And the list will go on and on of all the things that we can seek from God the Father. But that's all made possible through Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, we have the ability to approach God. You know, according to Hebrews, we can approach Him night and day. There is no limitation. How many of you have limits on your phone? Some of you may have limits on texting. You can only text a certain amount of times. And once you go over that, then you're going to be charged more. There are no limitations on prayer this morning. I imagine when we get to heaven, actually, I imagine God's probably going to tell us, you know what, you didn't even come close to using up near as much as I expected or as you should have. I imagine as far as our life, our prayer life can be strengthened. We could probably take more things to God. We could probably seek His help in more areas, seek His direction in more decisions that we have to make. You see, we are unlimited in the amount of times or the amount of things we can take to God the Father, and that's all because of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, in closing, and this morning, Jesus Christ is the mediator. He has provided access and ability to approach God. I hope and pray, as I look across the auditorium this morning, I hope and pray everyone here has trusted in Christ as your Savior. I hope and pray that you have come to Him first. Come to God through Jesus Christ. That you're not trusting in your works, trusting in church membership, trusting in baptism or anything else or anybody else. But that you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not with mere words, but from your heart. Something that you meant. And if not, I can tell you this morning, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, you can be saved. This morning, you can trust in Christ, and you can come to God through Him. And I'm going to tell you this, as soon as you do that, as soon as that occurs, I guarantee your life will change. I guarantee it. It may not change as far as the physical. You'll probably still go wake up tomorrow morning and go to the same job and have a lot of the same routine. But I guarantee your life will change. Because God will change your heart. The Holy Spirit will enter into your life. And you will find a new peace. You'll find a new contentment. You'll have a new desire to not only serve God, but you'll have a new love for God. To want to know Him and His ways. And your life will be changed. And your life will be for the better. And not only will it be changed, but you'll also have someone with you. You'll have a mediator that you can go to God and pray to God anytime, night or day. So this morning, as we come to this invitation, I pray, if you're here this morning, if anyone here has never trusted in Christ, I urge you this morning to get that settled. Repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. As we bow our heads and close our eyes this morning, we are going to have an invitation. Here in a few minutes, the piano is going to begin to play. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I have a just encourage you today to examine your heart. Please examine your heart. If God has shown you, whether it was in this short devotion message or in the play, somewhere along the line, if the Holy Spirit has impressed upon your heart the need to get things settled with God, the need to come through Jesus Christ, I urge you to get that settled this morning. If you have any questions, you can come down to these altars. Someone can take the Bible, and we can show you from the Word of God and how you can be saved, how you can know that you're saved. Maybe you already know what you need to do. Perhaps you already know what is required. You know, there are a lot of people that sit in church for years, and they know all of the answers. And then one day it just hits them. They knew all the answers, but they never applied them. This morning, perhaps that's you. Maybe you have been in church. Maybe you were raised in a godly home. You know all the answers. But in your heart, there was never a decision made for Christ. If that's the case, if you know what to do, please get that settled. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ this morning.